Amen. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, begin reading verse 15, where it says, Be mindful always of his covenant, the words which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give a land of the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when you were but few, even a few and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. And that last phrase there, he says, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. You know, it's a very familiar phrase. It's something we'll probably have heard if we've been in Baptist churches. And often when it's cited, it's talking about the fact that we are, as God's people, are protected by the Lord. You know, because we are the anointed. We'll see that in a minute. And even beyond that, you know, it says, Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. You know, the prophet of God, the man of God, is somebody that you don't want to mess with. And it's not because, you know, he's all that or he's some bad dude or something. It's because of the fact that God protects such people, that God oversees them. And go to Genesis chapter 20, verse 1. And as I was listening to the scripture being read, I'm just thinking about how, you know, several times in that passage, the Bible's saying, Fear the Lord, you know, fear God, for he is a God to be feared above all gods. And why is that? It's because God is not just this passive observer up in heaven. God cares about his anointed. God cares about his prophets. He looks into them. He watches them. He protects them. And he also avenges them. And we'll see that in a minute as well. And here in this passage, you know, he's specifically talking about several people. One of them, you know, two of them being the patriarchs Abraham and Isaac. And he says there that when they went from nation to nation, from one king to another, he suffered no man to do them wrong. And he reproved kings for their sakes. And if you look at Genesis chapter 21, verse 1, you see what he's referring to. Genesis chapter 20, verse 1, it says, And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelled unto, between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, She is my sister. And Abimelech king of Gerar sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and said to him, Behold, thou art but a dead man. You know, so here he is, he's messing with, you know, his prophet, his anointed, the man of God. He, you know, unknowingly, unwittingly, obviously Abraham has a little bit of the blame, but God is still protecting him. And what are the words that he says to him? Thou art a dead man. You know, it's a very, you know, that's not exactly, you know, when the Lord comes and speaks to you, that's not what you want to hear. You know, you want to hear from God. Those usually aren't the words that you would expect to hear or want to hear. And it says there, Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, She is my sister? And she even herself said, He is my brother. He's saying, Look, I was fooled. I'm blameless here. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore I suffered thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. So the man of God, you know, Abraham, the prophet here, Just by the nature of being a man of God, you know, he can have a profound effect on somebody's life and the way that he is treated. You know, he's saying, look, you mess with the prophet, you know, Abraham, you're a dead man. But then, you know, once he kind of clears things up and he confesses, and it becomes obvious that, you know, the king isn't going to harden his heart and go through with it. He says, hey, go see the prophet. You know, he is a prophet. He shall pray for thee and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die. So he, you know, however he's going to handle the situation is going to have some pretty severe consequences, you know, on his life, or, you know, the non-existence of it. You know, and the same thing happens, of course, you know, I should have had you keep something in 1 Corinthians 16 if you want to go back there. And then, of course, if you know the story, the same thing happens again with Isaac. He goes into a land, you know, he says to his wife, Say thou art my sister, for, you know, the same reasons. And another king takes her, and if it's found out, you know, that that is indeed his wife, and he gives her back. And what is he doing? He's not touching God's anointed. He's not doing his prophets any harm. So that's what 1 Corinthians 16 is referring to there. But notice also in this passage that This covenant was not only for, was also to Israel for an everlasting covenant. It says in verse 17, and he hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. So this was a covenant that God has made with Israel. And of course, you know, that nation has ceased. And today we are the people of God. We are the Israel of God. We are the chosen of God if we have the faith of Abraham. So, you know, this is an everlasting covenant because it applies to us today as well. And what we could take from that is that as long as God's anointed are upon this earth, as long as there is a prophet of God on this earth, they have the promise that God is going to protect them and avenge them against their enemies.